And so it goes.
It's Thursday, so that means Dr. Mike is here to fix your life and your lineup.
And so it goes. My advice as a psychologist, prey on the desperation of others.
But only when it comes to fantasy football, not in life in general, right?
Yes.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Richland Center, Amory, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Waukesha, and Madison tonight.
Yes.
How are you doing, Jane Mannair?
What an incredible November day.
Seriously.
It's insane.
Was it yesterday that we were talking to Lori Palmieri when she said it's a very different experience getting to knock doors and canvas right now than it was in January or February when you're doing it for nonpartisan races? And truly, I mean, yesterday you got up to what, 73?
Yeah.
Down in Waukesha and Milwaukee?
We might break a record today.
Yeesh, yeesh, yeesh. All right. Well, you know, it's one of those funny things because yesterday I left the show and was looking at the outline for today's show and realized, you know, we obviously have Dr. Mike as we always do on Thursdays, but I had forgotten to send a confirmation email, and all of a sudden I was like, well, I have a lot of work to do for tomorrow's show. And then fast forward to right now, and every single segment basically has a guest.
We got a jam-packed show.
We went from what am I going to talk about tomorrow to, oh man, where can I fit you in? And so we have, like I said, Dr. Mike, so put your questions in now for your life or your fantasy football lineup, 844-967-2789. That'll be at 11:30. Then at 12, we have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez will be here. And then Mr. Charles Franklin, for the man, the polling man.
He's the poll guy.
He will be calling in after the Marquette School Law School poll dropped yesterday. Then we're going to talk a little bit of a break about a Halloween potato. It's a little Wisconsin in the wild.
Nice.
But and then Dan Schaefer will be here. And then we're going to talk about Emily Cattell, who is from the March of Dimes. As much as we've been talking about reproductive health care and access to abortion and how that is health care, sometimes what gets left out of that conversation is that we are in a maternal and infant care crisis in Wisconsin.
Big time.
And so she is going to come give us more details about that. So it is a stacked show. And then the last minute addition to today's show, I'm driving here and our boss, Sage Weil, gives me a call and goes, so we have a new host that's going to be in a lot of our outs, like our different cities for the 8 to 11 o'clock. And he's in Waukesha today. So you should have him on the show. I was like, oh, okay. That actually fills out because I didn't know what I was going to talk about at the beginning of the show. So Todd Alba, you are here and welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. I appreciate having me on.
I know. I appreciate that you're here. I think we don't, this is the first time we're meeting.
Yeah.
And so you are going to have the 8 to 11 show on the Civic Media Network in which stations?
Richland Center, WRCE. I don't know all the call signs.
Yeah, me either. I've been here since July. I don't know all the call signs.
I started at WRCO at WRCE years ago.
Wow.
So that's why I know that one.
Okay.
And then I'm on Amory, on Wausau, and I believe there's another station around Hayward that's going to come online.
Yep.
And then after that, we'll kind of see. It's a day-by-day thing, as you know.
As it is.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny because my first 7 or 8 years of my, I guess, post-college professional life, because you could say that I did have a professional life as an actress when I was a teenager.
That's fantastic.
That I was working in startups. And this is very much the startup of we're building the plane as we fly, and things change, and you just roll with it. And so we're rolling with, you have those shows, we'll see where it grows. And there you go. So who are you?
Who am I? Why am I here?
I didn't even get to write down your title or your bio.
Admiral Stockdale from the Ross Perot campaign, 92, before many of you were born. I'm Todd Alba. I grew up at Richland Center.
Okay.
And started in radio in high school. My mom said, you know, you really need to get a full-time job. So this kid that was born with a cleft palate and a speech impediment was ballsy enough to go down to WRCO to Ron Fruit and say, hey, would you hire me? And he was crazy enough to do it. And you know, to show my age, in 1987, when I started, we still had the carts, like we play commercials, were still physical 8-track type of carts you put into a player. Now, of course, everything is computerized. So
Jane's not in your head because she's like, I remember those days.
Oh, man, I remember albums. But anyway.
My first studio, we had 2 turntables, a cart machine, and that was it. And you had to queue up your records.
Big reel to reels.
We recorded Weather Central from Madison, a reel to reel.
Wow. Yeah.
I went to a school, it used to be Platteville, and I did my radio editing project my senior year, splicing tape. That's how you edited.
You want to know a fun fact? In Hollywood, in like the early, when it was still film, and they literally sewed film together, like they would slice.
Really?
So the way that they would cut scenes or cut takes from a close-up of this person to a close-up of this person, they would sew the film together, and it was usually women because they were better seamstresses. Isn't that funny?
I did not know that.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow, that's really cool.
From Richland Center, went to Platteville.
Went to Platteville, got involved in politics at a very young age as well, and worked for a guy by the name of State Senator Dale Schultz, ran his 94 campaign, ended up in his office in the Capitol, and then worked for about 3.5 years for former U.S. Congressman Scott Klug from Madison.
Do you know Pete Bry?
Pete Bry.
He was on his like financial. I think he did more on the campaign side. That's my dad.
That's my dad. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say. Because I remember being younger and him working on Scott Klug's campaign, and so I wonder if you guys.
I remember the name because I only volunteered on the campaign side. I worked on the congressional and the office side, but yeah, I remember the name.
There you go.
But well,
he's also hard to miss because he's 6'8".
Former basketball player. And, you know, there's 2 things in my life that have always, speaking of weaving things together, Richland Center, number one, because as my friend Rob Wheat, my childhood friend, likes to say, it's kind of like the six degrees of Kevin Bacon. If you go to this kind of the Richland Center mafia, you can find a connection somehow through Richland Center. But the other one is Bo Ryan. And I found out today that your dad played at Wisconsin when Coach Ryan was an assistant.
Mm-hmm. His senior year.
And so I went to Platteville when Coach Ryan was the head coach there, and I was the color commentator for the student section or station, and traveled with Coach Ryan's team for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And other than my dad and Dale Schultz, Bo Ryan is probably the most influential male figure in my life. Great guy. One of the best people I've ever met.
That is so funny. My best Bo Ryan story, we'll get back to your story, but
yeah.
So
Bo's life is much more interesting than mine.
Bo is obviously an unbelievable basketball coach. He's also an opinionated man.
Yes, yes he is.
And this was 2003, 2004. He and his wife, Kelly, were visiting us in California. And probably as a shock to no one, I, even at 17, was also opinionated. Right. And they were sitting in our living room, and we were talking about the Iraq War. And I already had very strong feelings about that. So he and I get into it, and he's had enough. He's been drinking. They're on vacation.
He had a couple.
And
nothing wrong with that.
I just wipe the floor with him with my arguments, and he just keeps being like pedantic and patronizing to me because obviously he's known me since I was literally born. And so who is this 17-year-old? And so the next morning he wakes up and he goes, "That was a good chat last night. It was a good try. And I looked at my mom just wide eyed, she's like, "Just relax, let it go." So I have certainly gone toe to toe in my adult life, almost adult life with Bo. But yes, he is like an uncle to me. And
that's
so
fantastic. He's a pot stirrer, right? He likes to mix it up. He likes to get a little reaction, and he respects the pushback.
Yes, absolutely. You know? That's so funny. Yeah. So you know Maddie and Will. And,
yeah. And that's fantastic. Now Will's in Green Bay, and I mean, I remember. See, I can't remember what it was. Man, I forget which one of the girls, when he was at Platteville, went through a stage where she thought she was a cat. And so
oh, he, the younger girls?
Yeah. And so he would come on. But this is when they're like, you know, what, 3 or 4?
Babies, yeah.
Yeah. And we had this weekly show with him, both on TV and on radio, the coach's show. And I remember he spent like 8 or 10 minutes of a segment on a coach's show talking about his daughter. You know, guys, what do I do? Like she just wants. I was Brennan. Like she just wants to. She just wants to. Like I can't get her off all four. She wants to eat her food on the floor in a dish.
She said this on the radio.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He didn't care. And then another great Bo story. So this is like when I was working for Dale at the Capitol.
Okay.
I'm not sure when the Big Ten Network started, but anyway, it doesn't matter. And I'm working for, I walked to the Capitol, and there's Coach Ryan, no on him. And this is when he was at Wisconsin now. He'd been the coach of Wisconsin 2 or 3 years, and he's just standing there, and he's looking around. I said, Coach, how you doing? He goes, Todd. He goes, well, I'm just standing here, and all I know is that Kelly and I just built a house, and she wanted a slab of granite on the countertop, just a slab. And, like, I know how much that cost. And, like, how much do you think this building costs? It's just
like
crazy.
The Kohl Center?
Yeah, no, this is the Capitol, the state Capitol.
Oh.
He's looking around the state Capitol trying to add up how much it would cost.
Because he now has a price point for what
for a countertop. And he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm here for Dale. I'm working for Dale. He goes, we're announcing the Big Ten Network. He goes, why don't you come on up? And they had this, I don't know why they were doing it at the Capitol. I guess maybe because the university was involved or whatever. And he takes me up, and there's like the commissioner of the Big Ten and all these big people. And he takes me over and he introduces me to these people. And he says, yeah, this is Todd. He really taught me how to do interviews, in the media and stuff. Enormously gracious. And of course, if you know Bo, I didn't teach him anything. I mean, nobody needs to teach Bo Ryan how to do an interview, but just enormously gracious and enormously kind. And I think that's the thing that you know and a lot of people don't know about Bo Ryan. Can he be feisty on the sideline? Absolutely. Is he a demanding coach because he puts 100% in? He wants his players and staff to do so as well? Absolutely. But he also is one of the most gracious and kind people you will ever meet.
I agree with that. There you go. Well, we'll have to send this. This off to Bo. This was unexpected. But there
See,
you go.
I think we should have him on as a co-guest sometime.
Oh,
wouldn't that be fun?
Well, he spends most of the year in Palm Springs, so he might have to get up a little bit earlier than he was expecting, or just not be on the golf course.
Or even better, we talk to Sage and Crudy. I think we should go to do our shows both live from Palm Springs.
There you go. I like that, especially in February.
Exactly.
Ding 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 ding.
Exactly.
All right. Well, when we come back, Todd Alba will still be here, and we are going to talk about your show and what you want to do with your show and how you ended up at Civic Media.
I just want it to be as good or slightly less good than yours.
Oh,
I just don't want to be the weak link. You guys are fantastic.
Well, we'll take the compliment. All right. We're going to go break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I get the ball and then I don't play like the superstar in the NBA. The forwards, the centers, and all the guards, the ones you see on the bubblegum cards. Me and homeboy would go one-on-one cause playing the game is a lot of fun. Sit by the TV and watch them all, cause Curtis Blow is rapping basketball.
They're playing basketball.
The ball, y'all.
Get up at basketball.
The pill, the pill, the pill.
They're playing basketball.
Welcome back to Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this first half hour is Todd Alba, who is going to start his show on the Civic Media Network
Monday, the 14th of November.
That's very exciting. So you're going to be from 8 to 11.
8 to 11 on the western and kind of northern part of the state.
And what, we have kind of our lighthearted, let's balance some hard news with some goofiness and comedians and such, but how are you, as you're prepping for your show, like, what do you want your show to be known for?
I think I want it to be known as some place where people can come and have a little bit of fun, but also have a discussion whether we always agree or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I really appreciate about your show. It's one of the things that I really liked. I was listening to Earl on the way down this morning and talking to his guests. It's like, just get people out and get them involved, right? And bring that information to them and get the truth. And I think that's, I'm not sure what your discussion was like with our bosses, Sage and Crudy, but one of the things that I loved when they first asked me to come on this network, there was never an edict or a directive of this is what we want you to talk about, or this is the political bent you have to take. The edict was tell the truth and have integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it just so happens these days in politics, most of the truth falls on the progressive side. But that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
And so
Because we should, for people who don't know, Dale Schultz is slash was a Republican.
Is
a Republican. Do you consider yourself still be a Republican? No.
Okay. I mean the quick little bio there. Yeah, I started in 1980 volunteering on campaigns and didn't really start working quote unquote in politics until I was late high school into college. And but I worked for people like Dale Schultz, who, if people don't remember or know, he was the lone Republican that voted against Scott Walker's Act 10 bill back in 2011. He single-handedly stopped the mining bill in northern Wisconsin until they, quote-unquote, Schultz-proofed the Senate and got enough people where his vote didn't matter anymore. And so I worked for him, worked for Steve Gunderson. I volunteered in Steve Gunderson's campaign in western Wisconsin. He was the first openly gay Republican to ever be reelected in Congress. He co-authored the Americans with Disabilities Act. He funded Pell Grants, fought for agriculture. And then Scott Klug, I worked for him in the 90s in Madison, a pro-choice Republican, and was one of the handful of Republicans that voted in 1994 for Bill Clinton's assault weapons ban. Can you imagine a Republican like that even making it through a primary today? So those are the kind of people
granted,
I worked
with. He was in the Madison.
Right.
Which
right.
is even crazier to think about now. Madison ever having a Republican representative.
No. It's beyond comprehension today.
And so this is probably a conversation we'll have to have you back on to talk about, but from working on Republican campaigns, Republican offices, what do you feel like when was the biggest shift into how you don't see that kind of independent thinking, but more, and it is on both sides, right? The party control is strong enough, but as far as when do you really feel like you saw that shift of party over state or party over country?
I'll pick two points if I could. One, kind of broadly and one personally. The broad one is in 1994 when Republicans took control of the legislature or the assembly, and you had former assembly speaker Scott Jensen take over, and you had Chuck Kwala, the Democrat, on the majority leader in the Senate side. And up until then, and it still went on for a while after that, it was collegial, right? I mean, you would have people on both sides of the aisle get up in the respective houses of Madison, and they'd go like hell back and forth on the floor of the Senate or the Assembly. And then you know what happened? They'd walk down six blocks on East Washington and all meet at the Avenue, and they'd sit there, buy each other drinks and say, geez, you really got me today, SOB, I'll buy you a drink. And then after they got a couple of drinks in them, to your point earlier about Bo, get a little story. Stories would be told, and it'd be like, all right. I'll give you this if you'll give me that. That's where a lot of legislation got done, is at the Avenue.
Interesting.
Right? In 1994, both Kwala and Jensen, on the Republican and Democrat side, would tell their caucus members, if we see you having a drink with the other side, we will take your committee chairmanship away.
Wow.
That happened.
Wow.
And so it became this whole mentality that you can't even associate with them. And so that was a turning point.
And that was in the state. That wasn't even
that was in Wisconsin.
Federal level.
That was in Wisconsin. For me personally, it was in 2011 during voter ID. And we were at a closed caucus. And for those not familiar, closed caucuses are this weird niche of legislation, of state law, that allows the state legislature to do what no other municipality can do. And that is have a majority of your body behind closed doors, nobody listening. And so it was a closed caucus. They started talking about these voter ID bills. And former State Senator Mary Logic of New Berlin over here, she got up and she said, hey, I think you guys better start understanding what this means to places like Milwaukee and our college campuses. In other words, voter suppression, right?
Yeah.
And that's what my boss said. I think we better think of what we're doing here. He got rebuffed by former Senator, now U.S. Congressman Glenn Grothman, who said, Dale, we better do this while we can, because the Democrats would do it to us if they were in power. And so Dale said, he turned around to me and said, you stay here. And he left and walked to the caucus or to his office. And for like an hour and a half, I listened to these people, none of whom I actually worked for directly, but the party that I'd worked for my entire life. You know, I happen to be gay, and I made a lot of sacrifices of staying in the closet for a long time because I thought it was the best thing for my party. And I watched this party that I sacrificed for talk about openly stealing away people's constitutional rights. I walked down to Dale's office. I said, I'm done. I'm done. And I've voted Democrat ever since because the party just no longer represents. And that was before Trump.
Yeah.
Right? So I want to try to bring some of these stories. I want to have some fun and, see where it goes.
Well, that's a pretty good teaser for your stories and what you're going to be able to talk about for 3 hours a day. Because it is a lot of work.
I know. Don't tell anybody. I don't think we're on the air. I'm a little scared.
All right, well, we got to let you go. We're going to go to break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.